Thank God.
But my birthday is Chavgimel.
Chavgimel.
My English birthday is May 14th, which is the Independence Day, English Independence Day of Israel. It's also May 14th.
That's a perfect. So we speak a little bit about Iyar. This and Iyar in general, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Iyar is a month which doesn't really have anything per se going on in terms of the calendar date of the month of Iyar. However, what's very interesting about Iyar is that you have things going on there which are not, you have the Lag BaOmer takes place in Iyar. Lag BaOmer, always. Now, Lag BaOmer is not even mentioned in the Gemara, really. It's not mentioned in the Rambam. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. It gets into Shulchan Aruch, but not in the Rambam. It's a holiday which doesn't really have much of a written source. Not very little written source. We call it a folk holiday. This is interesting that Judaism, the Jewish people, have sometimes folk holidays, chagim of the people, not really coming from halacha, but coming the other way, that the people have a minig to make a chag of some kind, and then the halacha recognizes it. So that's what Lag BaOmer is. Lag BaOmer doesn't have a Gemara, a Mishnah, not even a Rambam, which is the normal way for something to get. Usually 99% of the time we have halacha, and then we follow the halacha, so people do follow the halacha. But sometimes people do things, and then the halacha comes along and says, you know what, it, we recognize it. That's Lag BaOmer. We don't know exactly when Lag BaOmer started. We don't know who started it, why it started it. But we know it became a worldwide Jewish holiday that the people celebrated, and then the Shulchan Aruch recognizes it.
Is that the other folk holiday? Is that a riot that the people use for Yom HaSu and Yom Rishon?
Right. And that's why that nowadays we have two other folk holidays which have developed very, very recently. Okay. One is Yom HaSmut, that's the most important one, the Jewish Israel independence. And Yom Yerushalayim. So we have Hei Iyar. What's very interesting is that everything is from Hashgacha Pratis, from Hashem. Hashem made the two new folk holidays fall out in Iyar. Now, there's another folk day which is now also. You don't know what the source is, but it became halacha, which is Tanis Esther. Tanis Esther is not mentioned in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes it. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. It doesn't seem to have any source. People fasted the day before Purim, and then it was accepted by the halacha. So that's by Purim. Purim is that kind of a day also, that a lot of Purim is folk minhag, but people do, and whatever it is, the parties, and It's a very sort of freestyle day, so Tainus Sesta fits into that. But now in Iyar we have Lag BaOmer, which made it eventually Shulchan Aruch accepted it, and then Heyer Chav Chasir. So it would be very nice if we could put together some kind of a commonality of the 3 days of Lag BaOmer. This would be a new chiddush. This would be a new Torah, which I don't know if anybody's ever said. Lag BaOmer, Hei Yam, Chav Ches Iyar, Won Chodesh Iyar. So you could say a pshat like this, which is a new thing because these holidays don't exist since 1948, Tavshin Ches. So you could say like this. What is Lag BaOmer? What's the story behind Lag BaOmer? Well, everybody knows that the Gemara does say that during Sfirat HaOmer, the students of Rebbe Akiva died out. So 24,000 students died out. There was a plague. That's mentioned. And then there's a tradition not mentioned in the Gemara that the plague stopped Lag BaOmer. So the folk holiday, most of the explanations are that the tradition that we have from the Gemara, the Rekim is 24,000, we die, they stopped dying Lag BaOmer, so we're celebrating the end of that plague. Now, and then in the Shulchan Aruch, he's discussing... Excuse me? Oh, right. Now, another idea, which is not as mainstream, is that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he died on Lag BaOmer, and on that day that he died, he released the Zohar. He published the secret book of Zohar, which was the most important Kabbalistic book since then up till today. And he brought the Kabbalah, which is that part of the Torah called Sod. The Sod part, the secret parts, he revealed a chunk of it on this day, Lag BaOmer. So that's the second reason. So that we developed now a huge bonfire camping trip up to Meron to spend Lag BaOmer at Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And over the last 20 years, it skyrocketed. It used to be maybe a few thousand people went. Last year, I think 250,000 people showed up in Meron. And the Israeli government is building new highways and roads. And it's catapulted into a national holiday, Lag BaOmer by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which is really... That reason is not even mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch does mention the deaths of the students of Akiva and the fact that they stopped Lag BaOmer. This thing about Shimon Bar Yochai is not even mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. It's completely much later in the Kabbalistic books, in the Chassidish Sfarim. It's mentioned in the Sfadish Kabbalistic Sfarim. So one of the things that people have done to connect Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's yahrzeit and the publication of the Zohar with the death of the 24,000 Talmidim is because the Gemara says that after his 24,000 Talmidim died, Rav Akiva did not stop teaching Torah. He moved from Bnei Brak, he moved to the south of Israel, and there he made a new yeshiva. I guess he wanted to get away from the plague area, and there he got five great Talmidim, and they continued his teachings. One of the five great Talmidim that he produced was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Shimon Yochai published the Zohar, which is many, many years later, of course. It was considered to be Rabbi Akiva's Torah. Rabbi Akiva's Torah, which was many faceted, had halacha, and it had drasha, and it had sod. That sod, the Rabbi Akiva, which he received from his rabbis, he passed to Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Yochai published it in the Zohar on his death, which was Lag BaOmer. So some of the great Mekubalim on Lag BaOmer, they go to Rebbe Akiva's cemetery, which is in Tveria, not to Shimon Bar Yochai, because Shimon Bar Yochai is just the student who's published, like Al-Havdil, I published the Shurim of the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik. It's not me, it's the Rav. So Shimon Bar Yochai, he published the Shurim of Rebbe Akiva in Sod. It's called Zohar. So that's why that's the connection between the death of Rebbe Akiva's Talmidim. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai replaced the 24,000 he published the Zohar, and somehow his death was on the same day. So there's some kind of a mystical connection. So we celebrate Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Then, once you're celebrating Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, his lifetime contribution, then you get certain messages. One of the big messages of the Zohar is that every Jew is very, very special. Every Jew is very holy. And we don't have better Jews and worse Jews. And then halacha, we do. Halacha, there's a tzaddik and there's a rasha, and every aveira counts and every mitzvah counts. So there's a lot of gradations between Jews according to halacha. But according to Shimon Bar Yochai Zohar, all Jews are the same. Because you look at the inner soul, everybody is God's child. God loves every Jew. So that's a big deal. That on the behalf of the Recha Kamocha, Pasuk, which Rebbe Akiva said, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, the Zohar is the soul elaboration, the secret elaboration of Rebbe Akiva's statement in the Gemara, after the Recha Kamocha, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, all Jews should love one another. And the Zohar means all Jews are equal. Absolutely equal, because we're all children of Hashem and we're all tzaddikim at our core. So that's the two reasons for Lag BaOmer. But how are we going to connect this to Hei Iyah and Chav Chesia. So on fingers like this, we could say a shot, could say like this, that State of Israel, it was Hashem's way of giving us a consolation for the losses of the Holocaust. The Holocaust was the worst disaster in Jewish history. Most Jews killed in the history of our nation. So 4 years after that, it ended in 1945 when the war came to an end. So literally 3 years after that, the State of Israel was born. And it had only 600,000 Jews at the first inception. Today, I don't know, 63 years or so later, so 65 years now. Around 65 years later, it might be the 65th anniversary that's coming up. So we have 6 million Jews living in Israel, and that's a very mystical, it's a very amazing number, the 6 million Jews who were killed, approximately. Hashem should take care of them. And 6 million new Jews living in the State of Israel from 600,000, which itself is a magic, mystical number, because 600,000 Jews left Mitzrayim, and there's 600,000 major, shamless major souls within Israel. So the 6 million is a very tremendous number. And this is a consolation for what? For the Holocaust, the same way that Shimon Bar Yochai was a consolation for the 24,000 students of Akiva were killed. So that was a disaster. Apparently it was an amazing disaster, because that was the whole Torah that the Jews knew at the time, with these 24,000 students. And so it was a tremendous blow to Torah and to the continuation of the Jewish name. But Rebbe Akiva was able to rebuild with his new students. Same way, State of Israel is ready to rebuild after the Holocaust. That's what I'm saying. That's what I think is the connection. Now, Chav Chesia, the Koach here, which is Yom Yerushalayim, in 1967, Israel captured the Old City of Jerusalem, which is the Holy City. That was a continuation of the consolation of the losses of the Holocaust. That not just we got the country back, but we even got the whole city of Yerushalayim and the Temple Mount. We got Harabayas back on Chav Chesia. Chav Chesia, the Koach of Ia. Now, is the ultimate consolation. Even though there's another level to get a base of Mikdash, and that's basically right now we're at this confrontation, Temple Mount, you know, to get the base of Mikdash. So far we haven't merited, but we can hope and pray and maybe even anticipate that the way Hashem is brought after the Holocaust, He gave us the land of Israel back, and He gave us the city of Yerushalayim back, and Chav Chesia, He will give us also back the temple of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Beis HaMikdash gets built in Iyar, because Iyar is the month for these, let's call it, not prescribed, not preordained, but unexpected events which become folk holidays. So just like Lag BaOmer became a folk holiday, no one knows exactly how and when, but it became a holiday to celebrate the continuation of Torah after the disaster of the 24,000 students of Akiva who died. And of course, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and his contribution to the continuation of Torah, especially of Sod, of the secret part of Torah. And this was his Yom Hilula, the day that his soul went to heaven. And he published the Zohar, his Lag BaOmer. So too, Hei Iyar is the day which we celebrate as a nation. Not because it's written in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a folk holiday to celebrate the consolation that Hashem gave us back, the land of Israel. And Kaf Chesia, Yom Yerushalayim, we celebrate the fact that He gave us back the old city of Jerusalem. But not with the Beis HaMikdash. We're still missing the Beis HaMikdash. The folk holidays. Now, sometimes the folk holidays precede what the halacha says. That's why, for example, when you deal with Yom Yerushalayim or Yom HaTzimut from halacha, there's a lot of machlokas. The Rabbanim all over the place. Some say it should say Hallel with a bracha. Some say don't say Hallel at all. Some say Hallel without a bracha. Some people say don't say Tachanun, yet say Tachanun. Halacha is not yet caught up with the reality of the folk holiday. It took Halacha a very long time to figure out Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a very, very long time till the Halacha. Even today, Lag BaOmer is still not settled, for example. When you keep the sadness of the 49 days, there's a certain amount of avelos that Shulchan Aruch brings down. You're not allowed to take a haircut. That minig took hold. And then Lag BaOmer is when you take the haircut. What about, is it 48 days I'm supposed to stay away from a haircut? Or is it only 32 days? Is it 32 days, but then I can take the haircut the night of Lag BaOmer? Or do I have to wait for the morning of Lag BaOmer so I get a little partial 33rd day? Or maybe I should wait till the 34th day and have a full 33 and a little bit of the 34th. All these things are machloket. Because the minig is because it began with the people of Israel. That it started from that end. It didn't start from halacha going down. It started from the people did ABC. And then the halacha comes by and says, you know what? We like this. We accept this. But the halacha takes time to figure it out. So certain things in the, certainly the avelos part, and Moshe Feinstein also came up with a tremendous leniency. He said you can go to a wedding. Now there's a bunch of people who say I don't begin the avelos until Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So it means I can have weddings till Rosh Chodesh, and they count the 33 days differently. They start Rosh Chodesh Iyar and they get from Rosh Chodesh to Lag BaOmer a certain amount of days, then from Lama Dalet till Rosh Chodesh Sivan, or till 3 days, the third day of Sivan. So you add up 33 days. Lag BaOmer is just a break in the middle. There's another minhag. So Moshe Feinstein came up with an amazing leniency. He said, you can switch from year to year, from one minhag to the other. You can keep your 32 day avelos 1 year, from the second day Pesach till Lag BaOmer. In another year, you can wait till Rosh Chodesh Iyar, start the avelos of Sfira, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, go to Lag BaOmer, take a break, and then after Lag BaOmer, go back to the avelos till 3 days before Shavuos. You get 33 days that way. And then he said, if someone is keeping minhag A of avelos of Sfira, and you're keeping minhag B, and you're invited to his wedding, you can go because you don't want to insult him, and he keeps minhag A, which according to him is okay. Therefore, you can go to his wedding. And if you make your wedding according to your minhag, he can go to your wedding. So according to Moshe Feinstein, I can go to weddings this way or that way, and I'm not violating the prohibition of avelos of Sfira because I'm being lenient for the kavod of this person, I'm being lenient for the kavod of that person. So the Moshe Feinstein, you only really wind up keeping avelos, means not going to weddings, etc., for maybe 15 days or 17 days because you get the leniency both ends. And of course, there's a lot of people who say you can take a shave, Erev Shabbos, or people say if you go for a job interview, you can take a shave and a haircut. The halacha is very, very fluid here because it began as a folk holiday. It didn't begin with halacha and then the people are listening to halacha. There's a folk holiday and folk practice of avelus, of being sad for X amount of days. And halacha tries to pick it up and codify it. But when that happens, not everybody agrees. So there's still, even today, after maybe, who knows, at least 1,000 years of the avelus of Sfira with the Lag BaOmer, it's still not clear what exactly the rules are. Some people say the rules are this way, other Rabbanim say the rules are that way. Moshe Feinstein says you can be lenient this way, that way, because it really begins from folk holiday. Am Yisrael has a certain practice, and then the halacha comes along to certify. So then when that happens, the halacha is maybe often confusing. The same thing with Hey Iyar. Hey Iyar begins as a folk holiday, that the Jews are happy that we have a state of Israel. And the halacha of the Rabbanim, they try to give it some kind of formality, but they can't agree. Some rabbis say this, some rabbis say that. Some rabbis say, for example, you can take a shave on Heiyah. You're allowed to shave and take a haircut. Other rabbis say no. Here in Yeshiva University, we had a big problem here. Originally, I can tell you the history of Heiyah and Yeshiva University. When I was here as a student, so the Rav was very strict. He did not let you do anything in terms of celebrating. He said it doesn't overrule the Sfira. Then the Rav moved on and he wasn't here anymore. Then the next big Rosh Yeshiva was Rabbi Lichtenstein, the son-in-law. So Rabbi Lichtenstein was much more lenient. He took a shave. He would shave on Heiyah. But he didn't want you to have a party. So shaving, yes, but partying, no. He left. He went to Israel, Rabbi Lichtenstein. And then they started to make parties. So when they start to make parties, which is like the Israeli Dati Lumi, Dati Lumi, Shivot Hesder, and that whole world, they celebrate Heiyah like a real holiday. They shave, they make parties, they're dancing, doing everything. So they brought that in over here. So we, it means we were the follow-up group after Rabbi Lichtenstein, Rabbi Shechter, and so on. So we didn't like the partying. We didn't like the partying. We said, make it a day of say Hallel. Definitely, Rav said you should say Hallel without a bracha. But there was always a B'nai Akiva minion, even when the Rav was around, that B'nai Akiva minion would say Hallel with a bracha. And the Rav didn't like it. The Rav was very angry. He said he shouldn't have it, but the boys did it anyway. The Rav left. That B'nai Akiva minyan became bigger. More people started to go to it. Rabbi Goldberg came from Israel. Goldberg is from the Shivot Hesder. So he started to push the full celebration, dancing and Hallel the Bracha and all the things. That's B'nai Akiva in Israel. So it became sort of acceptable. But then, you know, in Israel, there's been, over the years, I would call it personally, I mean, you may disagree with me, I consider it a very big deterioration of the celebrations of the Yom HaTzimut. What's happened over the years, the people in Israel in general are much less religious than they used to be, right? Because the original people in Israel were from Europeans or from Asia, they were much more traditional. As the time goes on, the people have become more and more secular. So they started the copycat, the Goyim Day of Independence, firecrackers, carnivals, things like that. You know, fun things. Goyish are fun things, nothing too. That became the Yom HaTzimut in Israel. The Yom HaTzimut today in Israel is basically firecrackers and barbecues. You barbecue and have firecrackers, and you go to the beach. But it is. It's nothing to do with religion whatsoever. So, Dalmi still keep it. Yes, Dalmi has it. Still keeps it as a religious thing. So here in Yeshiva University, X number of years ago, maybe 8 years ago, they made all of a sudden Yom HaTzimut celebration not just like a Dati Lumi, which is you sing and you dance, a horror. Boys have their circle and the girls have their circle. That was what they were doing for a few years. They made a carnival. They put in balloons and slides, and you slide down and you fall into water, and then you have boxing matches. You could put on boxes, boxing gloves, and box other people, and then even had boy-girl boxing. It was incredible. I consider it a chilul Hashem. And this they were doing out on the campus here in front of Belfer in public. Public. It's ridiculous. Anyway, we went at that point. There was a vice president here for student affairs. He left already. And we said, this is not for yeshiva, Yeshiva University. You can have Yom HaTzimut, boxing, slides, boy girl things. It's ridiculous. This is not religious. It makes them celebrate Independence Day like Goyim. We not allow it. We made a very big stink about it. And at the end, they stopped it. and they restored it to the Israeli yeshiva has the format where it's still outdoors, but the format is just really singing songs. No women singing. We don't allow that either. No kolisha. But they have performers getting up singing Israeli songs, Jewish songs.
And now there's still a carnival and a barbecue.
Huh? And a barbecue there.
Now there's also a carnival also.
I think it's like lower key. I mean, there's like slides. I think it's just like a penny.
Oh, there's like a penny. There's golfing. There's...
So it's a little bit. Yeah. They're a little bit. They snuck in below the radar screen. And, you know, we don't make a fight about every little thing. So we let that go. So they have, let's say, miniature golf. A little bit this stuff. But basically, it's the Israeli format of Jewish songs. So that's the story of the Yom. Yes?
I have a question on the previous thing. Why does Halacha, like, need to catch up to like, a folk holiday? Like, if it's not something that was rooted in Halacha, why do we keep it?
That is a great question. How can a folk holiday get sanctioned ex post facto by halacha?
If you want to say that it's still a minhag, that's one thing. But like to say that it becomes halacha, like why does it just become halacha?
Because like this, the thing is like this. There is the foundation like this. The Gemara says a few places that minhag Yisrael Torah. If Jews have a minhag, it gets the status of Torah. In fact, even if, for example, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, we keep a second Yom Tov in Galus. The Gemara says, where does that come from? Well, it says minhag avoseinu biyodein. It was a minhag, and the halacha came along and sanctioned it. So there are certain things which the Gemara mentions were minhag. Let's say, for example, Yom Tov Sheni of Galus is the most.
Daven Marv also.
Marv is a minhag. Let's say that we daven Marv, because the Gemara says really halacha says avos reshus. It's a voluntary, but there came a minhag that the Jewish people are a folk minhag. That it becomes an obligation that you should do it. So, in the Gemara itself, there are minhagim which halacha then catches up and codifies. So, because, and there's even psukim that the Gemara quotes different places. The pasuk says, for example, Al titosh Torah simecha. How's that pasuk go? Shema b'ni Musa avicha v'al titosh Torah simecha. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So they said, Shema b'ni Musa avicha. You learn from your father. The Musa means the real halacha. V'shinatam levanecha. You're supposed to teach your son Torah. So Musa avicha, that's the Torah you got from your forefathers that you have to keep. V'al titosh, don't abandon Torah simecha, the Torah of your mother. What's the Torah of your mother? Your mother's not teaching you Torah. Folk minhagim that people do is called Torah Simecha. It's not coming from the halacha side, it's coming from the minhag side. So that's a source that the Gemara says, a pasuk, that you should not abandon minhagim. Good minhagim you should keep, and the halacha should codify it and create a halachic way of doing the minhag. So that we have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus is the most prominent example. Then you have the minhag of Hashanah Rabbah, Hashanah's. That the Gemara says is just a minhag, and it was codified later on. So every, yeah. So that's why Lag BaOmer, which came much, much after the Gemara, is that kind of a thing, that it was a minhag. But the Balei Halacha said, you know what, let's bring it into Halacha. Now, if a minhag is there and it doesn't get into Halacha, it's almost doomed to die. Because the only thing which really lasts forever, if it's in the Shulchan Aruch, if it's in Halacha, otherwise it dies. So the lot of minhagim which have come and gone, many, many minhagim have come and gone, and but if, only those that the Halacha picked up and said, you know what, we want to codify. Now, what makes the Balei Halacha decide that a certain folk minhag is going to be codified? I have no idea. I have no idea why. Why did the Gemara pick up Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus? For example, Halal Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says, it was not a koin to halacha, it was a minhag. Rav saw it when he was going around in Bavel. He came from Israel, he traveled on Bavel, he saw that people are saying Chatzi Halal. So Rav said, it's a good minhag, let's do it. So it became codified. And, you know, I have no idea why certain minhagim are accepted and others, they let them play it out and it dies.
Well, principles, but not even just why. Like, I'm just like, let's say you have a set thing, like the time of the Gemara, like things, a lot of things were set then, right?
Right, sure.
So it makes sense that even if we don't know why they made those decisions, but something that happened far after that, like,
right, that's really astonishing. I agree that
like
a much later minute, post Gemara,
so who decided?
Should all of us should be accepted. There would have to be some great authorities. You know, let's say if it's Shulchan Aruch, it's Rabbi Yosef Karo, so you can't get a great authority. For some reason,
yeah,
he picks up and said, we have to. No, he wouldn't. He would probably be consulting with all the other Gedolim. And he writes it up in the Shulchan Aruch that there is a velus of Sfira, there is a no haircuts, no weddings, and there is a lot of Omer, which interferes, and they do the haircut. He did it, you know, he put it in the Shulchan Aruch. Ramah followed him. Ramah had a different way of codifying it, you know. Rabbi Yosef Karo had the 33 days complete, and he only lets take the haircut on day 34. And Ramah is the other way. He's starting, he's letting Lag B'Omer be a day, but there are things going on before Lag B'Omer and things going on after Lag B'Omer. And what we do is not even Shulchan Aruch or Ramah, but the fact that the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, you know, put it down, they decided that this is halacha. Now that makes that minhag eternal. Now, one of the big problems about Yom HaTzmut is that right now it's still a folk holiday, and we don't really have. What I find is that Baalei Halacha, those who deal with it are all over the place. You know, some people say, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. I don't think that at this point we have a critical mass of the poskim nowadays who accept it. As I think that if you would go around and take a survey of today's poskim, you would find that the majority of today's poskim do not accept it as anything. They don't even consider it a proper minhag because they say it goes against the avelos of Sfira. It comes smack dab in the middle of avelos of Sfira, according to every opinion. Okay?
Hey,
ER comes out. You know, it's in ER, which is before Lag BaOmer. There's no way anybody, in terms of Sfira, says that there's no Sfira. There is a Sfira of, I mean, the Avelos of Sfira is literally right then. It's always going to be like that. The Hei Iyar, it's Chof Omer, 20th day of the Omer. It's always going to be Avelos according to everybody. So to cancel the Avelos, which is what the Chag does, only has a minority of the poskim. Lubavitch doesn't celebrate Yom HaTzmut. Lakewood doesn't celebrate Yom HaTzmut. Panovich doesn't, Bells doesn't. The vast majority of the religious Jews in the world do not cancel the Avelos of Sfira. Sheepish don't. Only the modern Orthodox, right. The Dati Lumi in Israel and the modern Orthodox here, which is a minority of religious Jews. It's maybe 25% of religious Jews. But until the post can come around,
no,
you can't say. If the person doesn't have his own poseg, you know, the question is, will this thing last for? It's only relevant. Listen, you have your poseg, so your community, your poseg says A, B, fine. But the question, will this thing last? You come back 100 years from now, will it still be there or no? I don't know, because if they don't get it, the critical mass of poskim. And for example, Lag BaOmer, there's some poskim even today don't accept it at all. They'll say Lag BaOmer, keep Avelos of Sfira. I think the Yemenite Jews, they don't have a Lag BaOmer. They just go all 49 days. That's it. So I don't know. Will Yom HaTzmut get that? I don't know. I don't know whether get that in Pratur, you know.
It won't, because the secular Jews do it. It's political.
The more it becomes secular, I think the less likely you're going to get the stamp of approval. In other words, if it's turning into...
But even the same way that Yom Shoah, they're going to get a stamp of approval.
Exactly.
Even though,
yeah,
even though it is part of Sfira. It's
right,
it's
exactly.
A political thing.
Right, exactly.
You can't sanction
that. Yeah, I think
it's Sfira.
So.
Like,
I think even the more religious, in some ways it makes them ticked off even more. It's like how can you just like say like a brachot batala, and you know, and like how can you like override sphira and like, you know, and cash in.
Right, yeah, that's right. No, they get very upset. They think that this folk minig is a bad minig. They don't accept the minig. In order for it to be accepted, you've got to say the minig is good, and then I give it a halachic design.
I think the halachic design makes them even more irritated, though.
Yeah, of course, sure. Right.
You all sad days are supposed to be commemorated on Tisha B'Av when you have 33 days of Sphira. Not.
Good point. It's a good point. Right. It's a good point. That's true. That's true. Yeah, there's, you know, the argument is. Okay, you know, it's
days in the middle of Nisan.
How do you have Sphira during this, like the second Seder?
Right, but that never made sense to me to have a minhag of a veilus during Chol HaMoed. It doesn't make any sense. It's a man of Simcha. Yeah, that's what, personally, I don't understand how that ever got off the ground.
There are both that don't have the veilus, so you don't have the veilus of Chol HaMoed.
Right, so there are variations. How can you say not to have a simcha during Chol HaMoed, the mitzvah simcha d'oraisa? So there's a lot of problems with. Whenever you have a folk minug, and it's not coming out of halacha, it's almost always going to create some halachic, problems. It's going to be very hard for halacha to figure out exactly how you explain this and how you put it into certain. It's going to be difficult. It is difficult, no question about it. Those of us who basically subscribe to it being a special day, okay, whatever, putting aside the celebration as. What level, and or maybe not at all, or complete, whatever that is, but recognizing that the State of Israel is a special event. I think most people would subscribe to that. That to me fits in very well with Lag BaOmer as being a representation of the continuation of the Talmud Torah of Rebbe Akiva, which is Am Yisrael's Talmud Torah. This basically is a continuation that the Jewish people will continue, and in the State of Israel. And the facts speak for themselves, you know, that in the most recent report came out called the Pew Study, PEW Study, that in the United States, if you take Orthodox Jews out of the statistic, intermarriage is over 80%. Put Orthodox in, it maybe drops to 70%. But the Orthodox is only 10%. So 90% of the Jews in America are marrying out at an 80% clip. You know, nothing like that going on in Israel. Nothing like that. In fact, Israel's numbers are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You don't have any real intermarriage going on, maybe 5% intermarriage within Israel, very small. So if you talk about Jewish continuity, how we keep the Jewish nation going after a Holocaust, apparently the American place is not where Jewish continuity is going to thrive. But Israel is definitely the place of Jewish continuity since the Holocaust. The numbers of population of Jews skyrocketed from 600,000 to 6 million. So it meant 10 times. If the American Jewish community would have done the same thing as Israel, we'd have 60 million Jews in America today. Because when the Holocaust ended in 1945, there were 6 million Jews in the United States. Today there are barely 4 million. So we dropped.
Is it that they stopped identifying as Jews, or is it that they moved over to Israel?
No, they stopped identifying as Jews. So in other words, what's going on is the Aliyah is negligible, tiny, maybe 1% of the population moved to Israel. There's about 50,000 American Olim in Israel, which is nothing. Not for America, not for Israel. So that wasn't the reason. The reason that the American Jewish population dropped from 6 million to 4 million is very small Jewish families and just plain assimilation, just dropping out of being a Jew, you know, and marrying out. So the population dropped 33% in terms of numbers. The Israeli population increased 10 times. So it's 1,000% it increased, 10 times 100%. This went down 33%. So we should have 60 million Jews. And we would do the same thing that the Israelis. So what's the difference? It's not as if that irreligious Jew in Israel has, per se, more of a Jewish identity, because he's living in Israel, so Hashem makes it that he can't intermarry. Because who's he going to marry intermarry? The only people you can choose there are Arabs. And, you know, Arabs and Jews are fighting one another. So the Jews don't want to marry Arabs, and Arabs don't want to marry Jews. So there's very little intermarriage, maybe 5%. Here, it's open, so Jews want to marry Goyim, Goyim want to marry Jews, that's it. So I think that there's enough to just recognize the importance of the state of Israel, just in a little level of continuity, that the nation should continue. Besides everything else that you can talk about, but miracles and getting back our ancient homeland and establishing religious life there and so on. So, my personal opinion is deserves to be accepted by halacha the way Lag BaOmer was accepted. I consider as important for Jewish continuity as Lag BaOmer was for Jewish continuity at that point. Definitely. Personally, I don't shave. The only thing I do, I might trim a little bit edges of things, which I'm with them anyway. But I don't shave. And the only thing I do is I will dance. I have a sheet that not to shave, but I will dance at a celebration. I do dance at a celebration, yes. But I definitely will not do any kind of carnival type activity. I will dance with the guys. I always try to dance with the guys at night. At night we have a very nice after this thing we have a Yom HaShoah, not Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron. Very, very nice tekkes, beautiful tekkes, really, to remember the fallen soldiers. Beautiful, very moving. And then it switches into Yom HaTzmaut. And then after that we have a dancing, usually down over in Belfer. The tekkes is over here in the Lanford Auditorium. And then you go over to Belfer and very, very nice dancing. The guys are dancing beautifully. And that's what I do. The day of Yom HaTzmaut, I don't participate. Too much of a carnival atmosphere. I will say Hallel without a bracha in the morning. No Tachanun, Hallel. That's exactly what the Rav did. The Rav said no Hallel. It said no Tachanun, but Hallel without a bracha. That's how I do. We'll have a minion.
Remember this Hallel after Shemone Esrei, and then the Rav did it.
Right. I do the Hallel right after Shemone Esrei. I don't wait for the end of davening, because I think that the Hallel goes with the Shemone Esrei. That's the minig whenever we say Hallel. So just put it all the way at the end.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense to me. Also, the Rav for a long time said the whole Hallel, then at the end of his life, he switched to half Hallel. So I don't do that. I go with the Rav's first way, the whole Hallel.
Why did he switch? When did he switch?
The last 5 or 7 years of his life, he switched to half Hallel. I honestly would say that the reason he did was I think he was becoming less enamored with the way things were going in the state of Israel. So instead of, when you say the whole Hallel, when he said the whole Hallel, he actually said that whole Hallel would be a chiyuv, would be an obligation of the Gemara. He said that the Gemara says you're supposed to say a whole Hallel when the Jewish nation is threatened and a nes occurs and they're saved through miracles. Now the miracles can be natural miracles like Purim, or Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a real marvel, right? There wasn't All right, we're not saying the challah because the candles burned for 8 days. We say the challah because we were saved from the war. So we see that natural miracles, like a few Jews defeat a big army, is considered enough to say challah. So originally, for maybe 20 years, the Rav said the Jews were very weak. First of all, we were post the Holocaust survivors, so we were weak. And then, how many weapons do we have there in Israel? I think they only had, at the time that the state was declared, they only had 2 cannons in the whole country. The Jews only had 2 cannons. One in Jerusalem, one someplace else, one in Sfat. They just had rifles, and the enemy was given tanks by the British. The British gave tanks. The Jews didn't have even 1 tank. Just had 2 cannons and a few rifles, and they had maybe 5 planes. And they were outnumbered, like 100 to 1 numbers of troops and weaponry. So it was a miracle that the Jewish the fighters were able to defeat the Arabs. It was a bitter war, very long, 3 months, and many Jewish losses. About 3,500 Jews were killed. But it was a miracle. So he said, based upon Rabbi Biad Ma'atim, like in Hanukkah, many enemies fall in the hands of a few Jews, we should say the full Hallel, but without a bracha, because he said to say the bracha, so many poskim say you need a Sanhedrin HaGadol. Like by Hanukkah, they had a Sanhedrin HaGadol. Supreme Court, they said, we don't have a Sanhedrin HaGadol, so maybe you shouldn't say with a bracha. Because you say it was Ashekid, the Shana, the Mitzvosa, Vitzivanu. Who commanded us? The Sanhedrin HaGadol. So that's what he said. No Sanhedrin HaGadol, so you say the full Hallel without a bracha. The full Hallel is because we were about to be destroyed by enemies, and the rabbi, the Admat, and God saved us through this called natural miracle. That was at the beginning. 20, 30 years later, the Rav was getting very upset about that the country didn't become so religious, and that the whatever, the different issues were coming up day in, day out. So, and the memory of the big war, the independence war, was faded. So he was saying, the actual existence, maybe it's not the original cause that we thought, but we can say that it's a minhag, it's a folk custom that people seek greatness in the state of Israel, so we can have a folk custom, like in Rosh Chodesh, you say, half a Hallel, which is a folk custom, a minhag, so we can say the half a halal as a minhag. It's a good reason to say half. So that's why he switched to half a halal. And he also moved it from Vayat Shmoneh Esrei to the end of Davening. But I always liked his original reasoning, which I did for 20 plus years. I wasn't going to switch at the end.
Well, a lot of people would be like, I'll be obligation to Davening, or other places you could like, you could also be to Zimmer, like Shana Rabba,
right. That's also minhagim, which came in.
Right.
Exactly. The Rav also was very, he had like a mixed feeling about the minhag of adding piyutim and adding things to davening.
Yeah.
Basically, he liked the piyutim, but he didn't like saying them during davening, because he thought, again, a minhag is a folk minhag, and to change the original way that the Chazal set it up, he didn't like that. He liked the words, and he liked to study it and talk about it, but he didn't like to say it during davening. Yeah, like a contradictory type of attitude towards changes. That's why, and I think if the more religious it is, the better it is in terms of getting the acceptance, halachic acceptance. Anyway, it is very interesting, the history of Yom HaTzimut. Now, Yom Yerushalayim, the Chav Ches, was never very widespread. It never went past Dati Lu'umi. In other words, the country never made it a national holiday, so Independence Day became a national holiday. That sort of enshrined a minhag. But Yom Yerushalayim, the day we captured Jerusalem, never became accepted by the state of Israel as a national holiday. It was a regular day. So the only people who ever got into it were the Dati Lumi, the Hezder Mecca Sarav, who believed that this is part of our redemption, and they're very strong about that. So they celebrate Chav Chet Yerushalayim, Chav Chetiya. Even YU, it's a toned down day. We do the Hallel without the Bracha, but we don't make the celebrations here. They tried a few times to try to make something, but it couldn't. The boys did not relate to it. You have to be really Israeli and in Israel to feel the power of Jerusalem. I don't think the average American boy does not feel in the United States that Yerushalayim pull. If you're living in Israel, you do, but not here. And it may be because it's very spiritual, Yerushalayim, and America is the antithesis of spirituality. So it's very difficult in America to get your antenna up and say, oh, I got a vibe from Jerusalem. Now, the state of Israel is a big country. It's sort of its land, its trees, it's something that American can relate to. You know, it's mine, I can run around, it belongs to us, so you can jump on Yom HaAtzmaut. But Yom Yerushalayim, you have to be very, very spiritual to feel it. So, not that many people even in YU say Hallel on Yom Yerushalayim either. It's not that every boy says Hallel. Every minion? I don't think so. Yom Yerushalayim is mamish for the tzaddikim. If you're a tzaddik, you feel Yom Yerushalayim. Feel the Kayach of Yerushalayim. You have to be very spiritual. Anyway, the month of Iyar is a very, very holy month because it's a place where our spiritual antennas of the nation of Am Yisrael picks up things which are not even written in the Torah, but we intuit. This is something the Torah would like us to do. So whether it's Lag B'Omer or Heiyah, Chav Chesiyah, it's something that there's an antenna of Am Yisrael to pick it up. So it's like a very special month, the month of Iyar. You can say it's something like Mashiach, because in Mashiach's time it says that in general people are going to have very high level spirituality and an antenna to pick up without it being printed. It doesn't have to be printed and be taught. We'll intuit, we'll have an intuition. This is the right thing. These are the spiritual things to do. So, in that sense, Rosh Iyar is celebrating the spiritual antenna or sensitivity of Am Yisrael to pick up. It's a prelude to Mashiach. It's definitely a prelude. Lag BaOmer, Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, or folk holidays, which are preludes to Mashiach. That's at least my opinion. So we should have to be zocher to enjoy, celebrate, at least recognize the specialness of the 3 days. Lag BaOmer, to go into Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Now we hope this particular Rosh Chodesh Iyar